Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Real Ones podcast. I am your lovely host, David, and today I am joined by Ekaterin Dova.
Hi, everyone.
I hope that I tried to make the pronunciation on point for that one.
You killed it. You're the one that gets it the most out of everybody in our
family. Oh, really?
Like, Ali and Mika are improving, but
No. It's that Duolingo.
Duolingo. What's your favorite word?
Okay, I'll be honest. I haven't been practicing it too much. My favorite word is carota.
Carota, which means, do you want to say what it means?
It means carrot.
Yeah, it means carrots. But yeah, super random. David just sent me a voice message one day saying carota, which means carrots. And I'm like, what? I was like, yeah, good for you, David.
I try. It's cool. I like Greek as a language. I think it's a very pretty language.
We can practice it more during the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I think that will be more helpful than Duolingo, to be honest.
Yeah, Duolingo, it like teaches me each individual sound for the Greek language. So it'll show like one of the letters. And then it'll make me learn the sound. I don't even know what the sounds are. But like for E, it'll be, or whatever, like it'll be like eh.
Yeah.
And then that's how it teaches that, which is cool, but I want to learn the sentences. I want to learn the phrases.
No, David, I think baby steps are the best. Do the pronunciation of words and letters. And then during the summer, you're going to learn the sentences. Like, you're going to be acing it.
I love it.
Yeah.
But Kat, I want to ask, what are you drinking today? This fine evening.
Today I'm drinking coffee, as always. I have three coffees a day.
Three?
The first thing that I bought when I moved here was my coffee machine espresso maker. I'm not even kidding. Coffee is the world.
It doesn't like go right through you, coffee. For me, it gives me the poops.
It doesn't do anything. I'm so used to coffee. I feel like if I don't drink it, like I'm addicted. Like I'm an addict for coffee, basically. I don't know if that's good, but like I am. 100% am.
What's your favorite coffee?
We don't have it here. I tried with Starbucks to give my order. They did something similar, but not even close. You know what I mean? They called it that, but it's not that. So it's like Freddo espresso with a bit like one tablespoon of sugar. So that's that. But it's like very intense. Like it wakes you up. And it's like cold espresso, basically iced espresso. Ooh. But you have to like shake it before. It's kind of weird,
They don't make it here as in they only have it somewhere else?
It's more popular in Europe. So
An iced espresso.
That's my favorite coffee ever. Iced espresso, But it's nice. But it's shaking, basically.
Nice. I know I went to Europe like a couple years ago before the pandemic and I saw that they would give you a little thing of coffee and they'd put pepper on top.
Pepper,
yeah. Like salt and pepper. They put the pepper on top.
What? I'm so confused. Where did you go?
I think it was like Barcelona or somewhere in Spain. Yeah. I could be so wrong because I don't fully remember it. Or maybe it was Germany.
Germany, and they put salt and pepper when I went.
No. not salt. Just pepper.
Oh.
But it was really weird.
Random. It was good?
I don't know. I think my dad tried it. He kind of liked it.
Maybe it's like a special thing they do there. Never heard of it in That's my life. Thinking. Never. You're the first person like I've never heard of that in my life. The more I know now. Thank you, David. I'm going to search it up actually after. I'm not even going to lie right now.
I love it. Yeah. But how was your day today? It's like 5 p.m.
I think my past week I've been struggling with a lot of things. It's just a bad week, not a bad life. So that's my... I woke up today because I didn't go to school at all. So I woke up feeling like today is the day. Like I'm going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Positive energy, positive vibes. Because tomorrow we have our conference. I'm going to just put it there.
Yeah. For every plug it. Plug it. Like from what club? Yeah.
Yeah, it's for Toronto Metropolitan Entrepreneurship Association. And me and David met there at the beginning of the school year. So that's how I know David. We're on. And we have our conference tomorrow. Everybody that's listening to the podcast probably cannot apply to come, obviously. But check out our Instagram, T_TMU, to see all the content and fun things we did so you can join next year.
And for those who don't know, all the content you're seeing, guess who manages it? Guess who directs what happens? Kat.
Yeah, I do that. But I don't know. Next year, maybe David could take my place.
You know what? I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it. I'm like, I think it would be really cool. But the thing that I'm worried about is that because I'm doing co-op in the winter and the summer, and like even now with me on co-op just now, it's so difficult to ever come downtown just for me based on what it. And so, like, I think it'd be really cool to try to be the, like, a VP.
Yeah. I feel like if that's a concern, you can, like, have another VP, too, so that, like, maybe you have a very good marketing associate that can, like, take your place when you go to co-op, and then you can switch, and then you have this agreement from the beginning.
Yeah.
I feel like that will be a very good idea, because I feel like you will be a great VP of marketing for team.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I have that exact thought. I'm like, yo, I'll have someone, I'll promote someone temporarily and then just send them back down after.
Exactly. That's a very good idea. Or like, it might not be that hard for you winter semester. Just like, I think you should go for it for sure.
Yeah. That's I like it. Fun. Just like sliding it on the table.
Yeah. I like you never it. Know. I think you need to try it. It's a nice experience to have, I believe. And since you were on the team this year too, on the marketing team, now you will know what needs improvement, what we didn't do that good, or what needs more like boost and everything. So I feel like it's going to be a good idea, being a past member and then being able to rejoin the team as a VP. I feel like that will be great. Yeah.
What about you? Where are you going to be?
Excuse me. I'm doing my co-op term this September. I'm doing summer co-op and fall co-op. So...
Oh my God.
I'm thinking of taking one course too. So, so my winter semesters will be easier. So, for those who don't know, during co-op, you have like either a fall or winter semester to go to school. Mine is winter, David's is fall. So, I'm thinking of taking a fall course.
Nice.
To make my life easier during winter, have only four courses.
That's smart. Have you found your summer placement yet?
No, but I've been very picky. And I know a lot of people have not been getting interviews. And I've been getting interviews and I'm very grateful. Mm-hmm. But I want something more fun for summer. And I'm getting very like serious jobs, which I can do, obviously. Like I would do them. But like my first summer here, because I'm so used to spending it in Greece. I think it's going to be like terrifying for me and very hard. Mm-hmm. But now that I have like great friends like you guys, I think it's going to be also very fun. But like I want something more chill.
Yeah. Oh, something chill. Yeah, I got you.
For my first, let's say, co-op term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going good. I'm getting a lot of interviews in a lot of great places actually. But a lot of the great places have like round one, round two, round three.
Yeah.
And it's very tiring after a point. So I have stopped like applying since I'm getting like call outs and offers. And now I'm trying to decide whether or not I wanna one of the jobs I'm like basically on the final line to
Girl boss.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
That's awesome. Where have you gotten interviews from?
My favorite ones that I'm now waiting for is Blue Jays. So I did an interview, like an introduction interview, and then another interview, and now it's the case study.
Whoa.
Thing that we're waiting for the results. And OLG.
The gambling thing?
Startups. Sorry? Yeah.
Like, you know, that'd be cool.
Yeah. They're all marketing roles, even though like I'm a global management student. But because I did internships in marketing, I feel more comfortable doing marketing as my first term.
Yeah.
And yeah, all of them are marketing roles, like digital marketing, marketing, PR, like sales, like all related to marketing. So I feel like it's going to be more fun to do that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Some.
So more marketing for me. So yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And you're a marketing major too, so I feel like you can relate.
I respect that. I love it. I like the marketing roles that you're going to. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Marketing. Maybe I should change my major end of third year. Never. Never. Actually, never. Yeah.
But so we were talking about, so you were saying how you usually spend summers in Greece.
Yeah.
And so is that with your family, friends, or just everyone all the time? Yeah. What do you do there?
Basically, I feel like a Greek summer for Greek students is very specific. Mm-hmm. So you usually plan hot vacations in different islands with your friends. So popular for our age is like camping or like more party islands and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I usually try to balance both family and friends. So I might like when my family is off from work, I might like stay with them for like 2 to 3 weeks. But like we always invite friends around because we have like a beach house. So my house is like always packed with people basically. So even if my family don't want them, I invite them anyways. So why not? So yeah, it's basically that, like everybody plans ahead of time because now, especially with inflation and stuff, it's getting really hard to find something very affordable. And because like we're back from COVID and everything's going back to normal, and it's kind of back to normal since last summer. So basically everything now, because of tourism and stuff, is very, very expensive. So
Really?
The thing we try to do is like whoever has a house on an island, we just go and church. We just go to our friend's house and then they come to our house and like
stuff like that. Yeah. So as tourism increases, like the cost of everything goes up in Greece?
Yeah, because tourists like book their tickets from September because it's a very early set thing, or December, let's say. And because we're like, it's fine, we're students, and students in Greece, whoever's enrolled in a Greek university has 50% off in like boat tickets and some of
That's awesome.
And we don't even pay for university. It's free.
You have free post-secondary education.
Yeah, we do. But you work really hard to get in. Like we have like exams before it, so you basically compete with everyone in Greece to get a placement in a university, and the spots now are also kind of limited due to a lot of stuff. But yeah, and when you have your student card, you have like crazy like discounts, crazy discounts. So all of the students are like, yeah, why bother, I have 50% off, like the price is not that high, like that high to go somewhere. More like accommodation is like harder to find, let's say. So
so in Greece, I'm so curious then, if like you have all these discounts and everything, do people pay a lot more taxes like compared to here, or just low
No, because like Greece works more with the public sector, and the public sector, like the taxes compared to Greece here are crazy. Like here is like almost 51%. It's more than 51% here, if you think about it, during a year. And in Greece is like 23%.
Only 23%?
And like people can get easy. Like, no. Greek people have their ways. I feel like it's not.
To reduce it a little bit, even more?
Yeah. Yeah, but the public sector right now is like kind of good but horrible in the same way. Because like taxes are, we're not getting. Although stuff are free, they're not working as well as they do here, because they don't maintain like the free staff that we have.
So, I got you.
Yeah, it has its benefits and it's like drawbacks.
Yeah,
it's I don't know, it's the standpoint you look at it, so
yeah,
depends. Yeah.
And so on your summers in Greece, you said you guys go camping.
Yeah,
you're an outdoorsy kind of person.
I am. I've been doing this voluntarily first, and I go more to like organizing camping like retreats. But I've been doing volunteering since I was like 14. So it's like the Hellenic Greek Guides Association, which basically it's a team that you volunteer and everything that you do goes to the common good, let's say, to people. So everything we do, it goes back to the community. So every summer we used to plan camping trips with other people, like other teams from across Greece, from other cities. So we would go like for 12 days to like a very remote small place in Greece, and we will rebuild it. We would go in teams, and like one team had to do like the church, one other team had to do the playground, one other team had to do like the social community center, or entertain the kids that would go there, or yeah, basically help like everything get rebuilt. And we did that for free, and we used to like have everything built from the ground up. Like we would say, we would stay in tents in like in a forest or like, yeah. And we would do awesome. It was very like, when I told my mom and I was 15 the first time I went, she almost flipped. She's like, "Can I book you like a hotel? Like, are you gonna be okay?" I'm like, "No, it's gonna be fine," because during the year you basically train for it too.
Yeah,
you go every week and you learn what the best way to like provide to the society is, and volunteer in general. So you're prepared when you go there. You're not going there from scratch, obviously, and you learn a lot of things before going, like how to survive in nature. You do some projects, like more fun projects, because you're still like a child. So that's that. So that's why I loved going camping. And then when I became like a team leader and I had my own like children to take care of, we even went with my friends from when we were children to camping retreats for camping, let's say. So yeah, I feel like camping is a very good experience if you're like an outdoorsy person and you like love hikes, love doing all the other outdoorsy stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Would you ever do it, David? Should I take you with me?
I love camping.
You love camping?
Yeah, Elizabeth got me into camping and hiking like crazy. I'm
taking you guys on our next volunteering camping trip.
Fly all the way to Greece?
Yeah, nice. you can come for like a month and then you can join us for like 5 days, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you guys know, don't worry. If I like manage to go ever again, now that I'm working, I'll be working here. I'll let you guys know. You're always invited.
Amazing. I think it sounds like an amazing experience, and especially going at a young age, like you said, 15, you were there first. It seems like that required a lot of like leadership, and you as a person, I've told you this, you command a very strong presence, and that's amazing. Would you say that, you know, like this Greek Guiding Association, has it had an impact on you as a person and how you view leadership roles now?
Yeah, of course, for sure. Because imagine I started going when I was 14. People that I knew and I met when I was on the team started going where they were like 6.
Wow.
So I was like a late comer to the team. I was one of the late ones. Like people knew each other from when they were 5 years old, and they used to do camping, but of course they wouldn't like go and rebuild stuff. It was more of a fun experience that trained them to learn how to volunteer in general, like from games and stuff. But when you pass the age of 14, then it became more of a more solo, let's say, because you take a lot of charge in everything. So you might like operate as a team, but even your team leaders, they might be like adults, but they're your equals. You talk like, because in Greece we have the plural form when somebody's an adult, we refer to them as like always like in the plural way. So when we would join when we were like 14 and till like 18, you wouldn't do that. And everybody was treated equal. Everybody had their own opinion. Everybody had their own ideas. Everybody would take charge each day, let's say, and plan the day out for everybody. So yeah, I feel like that helped me a lot. Because also the things we were doing and the situations we were put through were very hard. Like, imagine leaving in a forest and start raining. Like, and you would live in a tent. Like, that's true. And then you were responsible each day. Like, one person from the team had like to be responsible for the team. So let's say if that happened, you have to be responsible for 12 people on your team.
Wow.
Yeah. And you also have to accommodate everybody, get the time to learn what they need and what they want. So yeah, I feel like that helped me a lot become who I am today.
I love it.
Because I view everything more simple now. When I'm like at school and I'm like, oh, we have to do this. I'm like, everything will be, you know what I mean? Because now everything seems easier to me in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like because it. Adaptability. I think when you're adaptable, then you're more able to lead people in a way.
I love it.
Yeah.
Amazing. When you were camping in Greece, were you able to see the stars easily?
Yeah, that's the best part. That's the best part. So during our day, we used to have we used to call it the good night part. Mm-hmm. And each city would go and from the teams we had, we used to do a part for good night, a poem. And we would lay down and look at the stars. And yeah, it's amazing. I feel like that's the best part when you go camping, one of the best parts. But if you love stars and astrology,
yeah,
I think that's one of the best.
For me, my absolute favorite thing is looking up at the sky and seeing the stars. I think it's incredible. Yeah. It makes it, it's so cool because it reminds me that we're not the center of the universe, you know?
Exactly.
We're just a part of it.
A very tiny, tiny.
Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of it brings me peace. It's so nice to think about it like that, where it's just of course, you know, all of our problems and feelings and emotions and everything, they're real, they're there, but I feel so calm when I look up and it's just all these things are happening here now, but the earth is still spinning.
Yeah.
The stars are still moving and it's it's a nice perspective.
Exactly. And I feel also that they help you calm down when you have this perspective that you're okay, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to go as planned. Don't even worry about it. Yeah. So where do you go camping? Now I'm curious.
So I've only started over the last couple of years with Elizabeth. We've been only within Ontario. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the parks here. It's been a lot of provincial and national parks, but that's okay. Then I'll give you some recommendations, if I may, because I will say go to Tobermory.
Tobermory, okay.
Yeah, Tobermory, Algonquin.
Okay.
And
all those places, I have no clue.
So Algonquin is maybe 4 hours from Toronto, just north.
Okay, north.
Yeah, and then Tobermory. Oh God, I'm so bad at geography. It's off to the west side of Ontario. West side of Ontario, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're both just gorgeous. Obviously, they're protected parks, so it's so far from all the noise. And just the stars are gorgeous. The hikes, the views are incredible.
And how long did you guys stay and what did you do during the day? Because for me, was it a very planned situation or a holiday-based situation?
It was or it wasn't?
Yeah, it was when I did volunteering camping trips, they were very set because you had to finish a project in 10 days. And when I used to go with my friends, we were hanging out, exploring the island and doing stuff like that. So what did you guys do?
So for Tobermory, that's the Bruce Peninsula Park. So that's really nice because you have the park itself, so you can spend a whole day hiking. And you get up to this place called the Grotto, which is the main attraction, and you can go cliff jumping, you can go swimming in the water, and it is crystal blue clear. It's gorgeous.
Wow. So you would say that the best season to go is summer, end of July, let's say?
Yeah, I would say in the summer, that's obviously, it's going to be the busiest as well, but it's going to be nice because you can swim. If you don't want to swim, I would say going in the autumn as the leaves are changing colors, because there are so many lookouts and so many viewpoints where you just see all the trees.
Wow.
And so that would be really nice in the fall.
And how did you guys cope? Like, where did you guys live? In a tent?
In a tent. Yeah. We lived in a tent on the way. Oh my God. So you know with tenting or with camping in a tent, how you're supposed to have like an air mattress, like a little like thin little layer between you and the earth. I forgot my little mattress. So for 3 nights, I was sleeping on the ground, on the earth. And that was such a mistake, such a rookie mistake.
Yeah. You know what? Even if you have the mattress, when we went to an island for like this volunteering trip, my first actually, I was placed, because we were like 3 people in a tent. I was on the side where there was a rock underneath. The first night, it was fine. But we stayed there for 11 nights. So after the third night, my hip turned to be I was bruised.
Oh my God.
And they used to take us to the beach, because then it was like our fun time, let's say. Because usually it's on a mountain. The trip happens on a mountain, but it was like one of the few times that the trip happened on an island. So they used to take us to the beach, and the chief of the camping trip used to say hide, because they would think that we beat you up or something. It was so, because I was bruised. It was terrible, but I wasn't in pain because I got so used to it. So when I returned back home after 12 days and I slept on a mattress, I felt awkward. I'm like, what is going on? Where's my rock? What's happening? So I feel even the mattress sometimes doesn't help.
That's so cool that you're a camper. I never knew that.
No, I love camping. I went last summer, but as a fun thing. We didn't go that hardcore. But we stayed on a tent on the beach side of an island called Serifos in Greece with my friend. And it was amazing. Even if you go for fun, I feel it's such a great experience, because you feel so free. And I could never understand the people that say, oh, you feel dirty. No, what? You bond with nature. You would not stay there for 100 days.
Yeah.
4 or 5 days, I think it's the best.
What do you guys do for food? Oh, sorry. What do you guys do for food?
So when it was the volunteering thing, we used to plan everything beforehand. We used to buy everything and have locals help us. We would used to leave stuff on the bakeries or the restaurants, and we used to go and cook there as teams. Or we used to have we used to build our own kitchen. We used to dig a hole and put rocks and stuff so we can have fire. And it was surreal. It was a surreal experience. Even if I explain, I feel if I could show pictures, you would understand the concept. But it's very hard to explain this volunteering camping trip if you don't live it yourself.
Yeah.
Because the things you do seem so weird and so off from normal life. But when you actually are there, you enjoy it so much, because everybody's your own age. Everybody loves camping. Everybody enjoys nature in general. So it's an amazing experience.
That's awesome.
Basically, food was that. We used to leave our stuff in the bakeries and stuff so we can have bigger fridges. And locals, grandmas and stuff, used to come and help us, because the communities we were living in were super small, 67 people.
Wow.
Living there.
Tiny.
During the year. And then summertime, obviously all their families and grandchildren would come when we used to go there. So we will have 300 people. But the grandmas were so nice. And every small place in Greece has their own customs and traditions, or their own foods and stuff. So they would always bring something extra, so you would learn something. Or they would give you have this small drink to take back home with you to your mom, let's say. They were so nice. I think that's why I loved it so much. And I used to go every summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
When you came from Greece to Canada, did you face any big culture shocks or differences? Because it seems Greece was super beautiful with culture.
I feel because all my friends right now are going to exchange programs, because in Greece our third winter, fall semester and third year, you can do exchange. I feel all of us that now they're going to Europe, not to Canada, but like to European countries more so. I feel like everybody, now that I talk to them, are going through the same thing as I was. It's not like a cultural shock, because I used to come every 2 years in Canada because mm-hmm. my mom's Canadian. It's more so that you have this like feeling like, where am I? And I'm living mm-hmm. two lives right now. Because growing up somewhere and then moving across the world, even though I have family here and I knew some people, it's like surreal. You cannot explain. Like everything for me in Canada seemed like huge, because all the houses in Greece are small, all the buildings in Greece are small, all the cars in Greece are small. I'm not even gonna talk about the weather. Please don't let me ever talk about the weather. I think you've lived sometimes with me when we were walking, remember? Mm-hmm. After the last Christmas meeting, and I was like freezing. I wanted to die. Like, yeah, I hate the weather. But now it's not that bad, but I like still don't like 100% like it. But I feel like it's not that bad moving somewhere. Like I had it easy compared to other people that moved completely alone, because I had mm-hmm. like my grandma here, my mom's brother here. Like I had like some relatives here and there. So it's not that I'm completely alone, but it's still like a big difference compared to Greece. Like everything is different.
Yeah. So you went to Greece recently, or relatively recently. Did you notice that you like any like little like, what's the word? Like cultural things from Canada that you picked up and you brought over to Greece? Yeah, and people are like, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom, I think, because she grew up here, she was laughing because she surprised me to go to a spa mm-hmm. after exams. Because I also, while going back to Greece, I had the worst time of my life because I missed my flight. So I had to stay, in the French Paris like airport for like 14 hours. Like
14 oh my hours. God.
And the trip is already very long. So you can imagine me being there stressed. And I had the midterm, like a final that day that I left.
The same day?
Yeah, because I'm crazy. Like there's no way. Who does that? Like, but I was like, well, I can manage. It's fine. So I go to the airport. My flight got delayed for 3 hours, but then I had a connecting flight. So I missed my connecting flight. And the next available one was like, it used to be the morning. I had the morning one booked. The the noon one was booked. The mm-hmm. afternoon one was booked. So I took the night one. So you can imagine. So she booked a spa day. When I went back, and at the end I was like, thank you, mom, like I appreciate you a lot. And she looks at me in a way like, what did you say? That's so Canadian. Because we talk in English and Greek, because she always talks to me in English and I reply in Greek. But because I now have a lot of Canadian friends, compared to last year when I had like mostly Greek friends, I picked up on the expression that they say here. So I said like, oh, thank you so much. Like, I appreciate you so much. And as soon as I said that, thank you so much, she's like, oh my God, what did they do to you? Like, what is going on? Because I would say thank you, but like the way I said everything was so Canadian. She was like, yeah. Yeah. So that's one thing. But all my friends would say that, I feel like because we're so moving in a so fast paced environment here compared to the rhythms that Greek students follow in Greece. Mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, I can see myself being like not a completely different person, because I was always like organized and stuff, but like a more Canadian type of person, which is scary in a way. But I feel like it's not bad at all. It's not like a bad thing. Like, it's growing on me. Like, I literally missed you guys when I was there. Like, aww. I was saying, oh my God, I miss my friends too. Like, because we had aww. Such a nice fall semester, and it was mm-hmm. like such a new experience to me being a part of like an association, meeting new people here, interacting mm-hmm. with them on a daily basis. Exploring the school, because we got to learn a lot of things about the school, in comparison to last year.
Oh, yeah. So,
All the amazing features that the school has and all the amazing opportunities that the school has that I never knew. So And I was like, oh my God, I miss how organized people are in Canada. You know? Oh, I miss this. Oh, I miss that. Like, I compare a lot. Because I still do. Like, even though I grew up there, sometimes I say, oh, Canada does it better in this, like, part. Or, like, has a better system in this, let's say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, comparison is a very on and off thing for me.
Are there any Canadian expressions that you learn here that, like, you just love? Like, what's your favorite? And then I also want to know your favorite Greek one. You say
A a lot at the end of a sentence when I ask a question. And I'll say A. Or my favorite ones are, like, Mississauga's, like, slang for sure. Say no more. But they do say no more. So, like, all this, like, Toronto man lingo, let's say. That's my new additions through many experiences. Like, those are like for sure and like say no more and A. Those three, A. I feel like I mastered them.
So, I love it.
What are yours?
My favorite one? My favorite expression is A.
A.
Of course. Say it all the time. Yeah, it's strange. And then I love, apparently this is only specific to, I think, Canada, where, and I think we talked about this before too, like last semester, where we'll say no, yeah, and yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But what is it? No, yeah means yes, and no, and yeah. Yeah, no means no.
Yeah, means no.
Yeah. And so those two are my favorite, or I guess those three things are my favorite things to say.
Yeah, I feel like you say that a lot, but you don't say yeah, no. You say no, yeah, more. Then
yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. Yeah, those three are my top ones. I feel like I've been getting them a lot. But they're, like, new additions. The A was, like, from last year, but now say no more and for sure.
For sure.
Or the new additions. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, do you? I don't even know. It's so cool. I love learning about Greece and like other cultures and other places because I haven't traveled in like 3 years.
Yeah, since the pandemic. It's crazy. But I feel like now, because you're also working on your summer term, it's going to be more difficult to travel. And we lost like very nice years of our lives, let's say. Because it was the ending of high school, beginning of university, and our transition wasn't easy at all. So I feel like those like 2 years, 2.5 years that COVID like took from us made a huge difference to some of the experiences we could have like enjoyed more.
I'm kind of weird where I'm kind of grateful. Obviously, COVID was terrible for so many reasons. But for me, like looking at myself, how I was in high school, if I went to university like that, I just feel like I would have, like, I wouldn't be talking to you on T. It would be a completely different experience for me because I was so much, obviously I was younger, but I was like less mature. I feel like I wasn't ready for university in person.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way I agree. Like, because I got an extra year to stay with my family and my close friends. But I feel like what you said, like COVID made us appreciate more of what we had like before it happened. So I would say like I agree with you because I also like gained some time more with my loved ones. But on the other hand, I feel like I also like missed a lot of things because like we didn't get to experience like a welcoming to the university and an open house. Like Frosh Week and amazing events that the university hosts for newcomers and first years. So yeah, but I can see where you're coming from.
Because
the transition will be like high school to university will be like hard in some ways, like because you're so set with friends that you have here and you grew up here too. I would be more open to be more like to explore. Would you say that that would be a problem? Like, why wouldn't you join a student group? Because you mentioned something about tea.
Yeah, because like in first year, I was so young. And I was, I mean, maybe I would have. But I feel like it took me the last 2.5 years of COVID, and I guess 3 years, including now, to actually like gain confidence, to become my own person, to be a little more outgoing, to be able to talk to people. And in first year and second year, I feel like I was still learning that, how to do all that. Like, I remember I applied to student groups in second year, and my applications were so bad. But it's just because, like, I wasn't in the right frame of mind where I was actually wanting to put effort. You know, and I think because of COVID and because there was this huge break, I was like, oh shit, I have to actually like catch up now. I have to make up the last 2.5 years. So that's why I put a lot more effort into the T application, why I went out of my way to apply, why I'm trying to be as much of an active role or an active presence.
Yeah. Why would you say you picked T to be like your first? Did you apply to other student groups? I've never asked you.
I did, yeah. I applied to all. We're on T already.
Yeah, we are. I know. We're not.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Get rid of us for applying?
Imagine Mika. You had Mika. You hosted Mika another like podcast here. Imagine Mika being like, I want another podcast to officially like say you guys are out of it. And she's like, hi guys, kicking you out now. Or tomorrow when we enter the, as soon as we enter the.
Oh my God.
She's like, I think I heard what you said. And the episode has not even aired. And she's like, yeah, you need to go now. You're traitors or something. Mika would say that as a joke. She would. I'm not even kidding right now. She would be like, so you want to change student groups, eh? No. No, it's not happening. Where did you apply?
So I kind of applied literally last minute. I applied, there was REC, the Ryerson, or I guess it changed, but whatever, the Ryerson Entertainment Conference. The C.
Oh, yeah.
Vito's Club.
Yeah, okay, I know,
Yeah, I applied to the Marketing Association, TRMA. I did not get into that. Or even like an interview. I was like, oh, damn. and then I think like what literally some other clubs, just whatever was available. And so you guys were the last club I applied to before applications closed for everyone. And I got an interview from both you guys and REC at the same time. And they sent me like an offer, I think. Or I don't know how it played out, but basically if like T took like a day later to respond and get back to me, I would have joined REC.
Wow.
Because I think REC offered me a position like 5 hours or 4 hours after I accepted my current role here.
Wow. Do you regret it?
No, not at all.
Okay.
See how quick that was? See how instantaneous?
Perfect. I love that. Because we're the best marketing team. Say it, please. Please.
We're the best. We have the best marketing team. We are the best marketing team. Exactly. And we're the most fun marketing team.
I feel like, yeah, I feel so too, because we have like a good like abundance of people. Like we're six people,
yeah,
but we're so different, so we make the perfect like team in a way.
Absolutely.
Like, our communication every meeting is like
on top.
We always like laugh at least once about something for sure. Yeah, no, I also applied to, I feel like, TEDx, I think.
Oh, I think I did that too.
But it was very, like, last minute. I was sitting with my friends. They were doing homework one day at a cafe shop. I was in Greece. So they were like, oh, let's sit in. We have to study because their final exams are, like, late June.
Oh, my God.
Beginning of July.
That sucks.
Bored. I was like, okay, I'll come join. I'll do other stuff. And then I was thinking about joining a club because I remember seeing like the Marketing Association posting some stuff. And I was like, cool. But then their applications were closed. And then I was looking around in the following section about other like associations. And then I used to love like TEDx in Greece. Like I used to watch videos. And then I was like, oh, that seems cool. And I saw that they have a conference, and I think I applied for like director in a conference because I had like experience from MUN. I used to join, I don't know if you have this MUN, you have Model United Nations.
Yeah, the Model UNs, yeah.
Yeah. In Greece, apparently, because only private schools have them. They're like, and public schools, but they're more like known to the public, private schools, sorry. I liked it and I had experience, so I was like, might as well. But then because I really liked tea, because I remember watching the how minimalistic it was and how like, and I was like, yeah, I need this, like something that's subtle, like, and more minimalistic and easy and more, yeah, like, to start chill, like my, yeah, association, like experience with,
yeah,
and school and stuff. And it was when they launched, I feel, when the rebranding campaign was launched, that I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I was like, let's apply, why not? And then I applied and I got like my interview for Mika, etc. Mm-hmm. You know the rest of the story. Now I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They rebranded from, for the peeps that don't know, the listeners, they went from the Ryerson Entrepreneurship Association to the Toronto parentheses Metropolitan Entrepreneurship Association. That was the best rebrand, I think, out of any of the clubs.
Yeah, because it's such an easy name.
It's an easy name, and it was actually creative. Like, everyone else just changed their name from, like, Ryerson to Ted Rogers. So RMA to TRMA. They just added a letter. No disrespect to you guys, if you're listening. But...
yeah, I know. But, like, I feel like you can do so many things. Like when we launched our Meet the Team campaign and we had the tea bags, like that was funny.
It was so clever.
You can do so many things because it's such a, like, you can use it and paraphrase everything and like play with words so easily when something is like, so we use it so much metaphorically because tea and the drink tea and like everything tea and the lemons and stuff. So I feel like, yeah, I agree that we had one of the best launching campaigns. Although it wasn't like over the top, it was very minimalistic and to the point.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree for sure.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back. I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been like holding this in. I'm like, whoa.
Okay.
So.
Do you want to continue?
No, it's okay. Hello. Hi.
Welcome back.
Oh. That was really good.
I can imagine. Yeah, it's the best feeling in the world sometimes.
I was thinking about tea, my interview process. I remember this. Where, so I applied for every single position that was available. No, everything. Marketing, okay. Human resources, finance, events, whatever. Corporate relations. And the only person who showed up to my interview, it was on the day of the co-op symposium that we had. It was Mika. And she was the VP of marketing at the time. And I'm like, marketing is what I wanted.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, sweet. And then it kind of worked out where she offered me the marketing role.
That's perfect. Also because like marketing is such like always the biggest department. Like there's no way it's not the biggest department because there's so many things that need to be done. We have graphics, social media, analysts, everything. Yeah. Now the website, if a group has a website, like an associate role. We used to have two associate roles. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Had our meeting during the summer. Yeah, I almost forgot. But like you have so many things to do. There's no way you can like not want people to join more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had my interview while I was on a camping trip.
Really?
Yeah. And I was looking like a crazy person. And then it was so windy. So windy. You wouldn't understand. And then I joined and I'm like this little like I was so sunburned. Like it was horrible. And then Mika's like, hi, where are you? I'm like, yeah, inside a tent. And then I explained and she was like laughing. She was like, oh, that seems cool. And then she was talking to me about Hawaii and stuff.
Was she Mika? Or who's she? Oh, okay.
Mika. And then, yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's why I got the role at the beginning. She was so intrigued. She was like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on? But yeah, it was like a nice experience to have an interview inside a tent.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 experience. It was so windy though. Like the tent was hitting my head. It was like surreal. But yeah. I would never forget it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I have a question for you. This is might be a little controversial about being a student club. So obviously for marketing, it can be a very stressful place to be, especially when you have like campaigns coming out. You want everything to look good. You want it to be nice. But so do you ever have moments where there's like all this stress, all this nervousness, all these like negative emotions, like stress, anxiety, everything towards marketing? And it's like, do you ever think about it like this is just a student club?
No. That's the sad part. No, because if I did that, I wouldn't be stressed at the first place. Because I'm like a person that's either 0 or 100. Like, you know me, I'm very direct. So I would never be like a meh person. Like, I would never be, yeah, whatever. Like, I could never do that. When I commit to something, I take it very seriously. So that's why I feel the anxiety and the stress. And that's why I want like everything to look good and be like, yeah, because at the end of the day, it might just be a student group for some people, but like your name is out there and you want the student group to succeed, or why did you join at the first place? That's why what I'm not getting, because you're not getting paid exactly. So why joining if you're not really passionate about doing this? And it's also very hard when you work with people that you actually like working with. You feel like you're letting them down because you all work for the same reason. And it's like, I don't know, because I think you get what I mean too. And everybody would understand that when working with people you like, you don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
So you try to like be better and help them out and maybe ask for their advice too, because it's very important. That's why we also do all our weekly meetings, because I want your guys' advice. I want to see what you're thinking. You might not be the graphic designer, but, of course, we want to hear your ideas. Like, not only one people should like be the one deciding. Like, that would be so boring. Imagine like when working in a team like environment and like a student group, I feel like teamwork is everything. Adaptability is everything, and like working towards like the same goal is also a huge part. So 100%. No, I would never just say it's just a student group.
I love it.
But like, At the end of my experience, I might be like, would I ever do this again? Like, at this moment of my life? Still debating. But like, yeah, I don't know. While I'm in a role, I would never quit. After it's done, I might say I need a break a year, and then I might join. You know what I mean? But during like the role and the school year, I would never say that, because now I committed. It's done. It's final.
You signed the contract. That's it.
Yeah, you didn't. We didn't. Imagine if we did. But you have to stay persistent to what you do, because that's. Imagine if this is a student group only and you don't do the work. Imagine also having a real job. It's fine that you're getting paid, but you still have to do like a lot of work.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a training process for me. That's why I wanted to join, and that's how I view it. It's like because we did a pitch to the marketing of TRSS to get funding. So I'm going to do 100 pitches when I'm working outside to actual banks and finance advisors and stuff. So I take everything I do in the student group as an experience. Cuz practice makes perfect.
I love it. I love it.
Well, that's why I like graphic design. I'm getting more like involved with everything because I want to learn. So when I land a job and in co-op, I might get asked to do it. Why not know like extra applications that do this work, or like extra ways to do this work, or like have worked on something and have actual experience. So I feel like, experience throughout, like when you join a student group, not only experience, but like you understand how working in a team looks like. You might not get paid, but it's still like work.
It's a good experience. You have
to meet deadlines. Doesn't matter. So no, I never like said that. Never say never though, like you never know. But during this year, no, I never said that.
Did and you? I can see it.
Did you?
I think it was only times, being completely honest, just during like during my co-op term, when I was very overwhelmed, when it was very busy. And that's when I asked you, that's when I communicated to you. I'm like, hey, I need a little more time. Like, can we space out my main responsibility, which is to find the metrics. So, yeah, I was just wondering. That's all. Yeah, and I think beautiful answer.
Thank you. Am I getting interviewed? I'm kidding. The interviews lately have been like crazy. Everything I do in my life sounds like an interview now. I don't know. I'm hungry.
It was so bad. Honestly, co-op completely fucked with my life. It literally, when I was applying for stuff, it literally consumed me and put me in this bubble where I was forgetting to go to the gym. I was forgetting about relationships, friends, myself, and I was just all co-op. It's so bad.
Did you have to do case studies too?
No, not for me. Not for me, you know.
I did this in so many roles. And I'm like, guys, it's just a co-op thing. And I cannot imagine their actual contract hiring process for over 2 years.
Yeah.
Because for the Blue Jays, what? And it's it was on their, it was the Blue Jays Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their charity. And I'm like, why am I doing a case study right now? I'm like, what is going on?
It literally consumes you. It's so...
Yeah. I know.
It's dangerous.
Did you start applying from summer or fall semester?
Sorry? Say again?
For your winter term, when did you start applying?
Fall. As soon as I got access to the portal. So for everyone listening, the way it works for our program is you have to do a bunch of prerequisites and tasks before you get access to the co-op portal. Mm. So for us, it was, and correct me if I'm wrong or add anything, but so you have to do an Excel boot camp. You have to pass an assessment there. You have to do a mock interview with your co-op coordinator. You have to meet your coordinator, and then you get access to the portal.
Industry simulation.
Yeah, and then there's a simulation you have to do. And so it's all this stuff. And so as soon as I got access to it, I immediately started applying. So that was whenever that was, September.
Hmm. Yeah, and you also have a summer one too.
Yeah, yeah. I was very fortunate enough to be able to secure both in the fall semester.
I can't even think about fall right now. Because I also applied for some jobs. I didn't apply. One job, they did a mistake. So I'm only applying for 4 months once because I want to do something more, as I said, I want a more chill winter one and a more strong small one. So I'm applying for 4 months only. So they called me from, I applied for this one in RBC, which is marketing, and it's now changed to 8 months. And I don't know, and everybody's dumb if you don't get it. No.
No.
Fine. Because 8 months for me, and us, I don't know, I am very I have so many thoughts about what if I don't like it, what if I it doesn't suit me. 4 months is bearable. 8 months,
8 months, you have to love it.
You have to actually love it. And I'm not a finance bro at all, so might be a brand marketing thing. No. I don't know, it's so I can understand what you're saying, because the thing that consumes me is not the interviews and the applications, but the aftermath. Let's say when I ask at the end of my interview, so what is going to happen after this? Is it only an interview based situation? And they're like, no, we're gonna send you a follow up if you get accepted to go to round two. And whenever I hear this, something inside me dies. Literally. No. Because it happened not way too many times, but at least 4 times. And that's, it takes time. And you have assignments, you have the student group, you have your personal life.
Yeah.
And it's what is going on? Why is this happening? I it happened to me for a startup.
Yeah.
They wanted me to submit a reel and a TikTok and steps through making videos and my opinion about acquiring influencers and it was a dog company nutritious meals for dogs.
Wow.
And I didn't grow up here, and I was searching for dog influencers. I was going crazy. I was what is going on right now? Why am I supposed to know even people that grew up here, I don't think they know. Even if you love dogs, which I love dogs, I have 2 dogs. How am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
I was what is going on? Yeah. Yeah, good experiences. Good experiences. Fun stories to tell
people. That's right.
It's never a boring day.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
But so that's, as we near the hour, that's kind of like where the episode is. I have one final question that I like to ask my lovely guests. And it's not even a question, but it's asking you, do you have any questions for me about anything that we talked about tonight or beyond in the universe? Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The floor is yours.
I have two questions.
Okay.
How are you feeling that you're going to be the MC of our conference? Because I personally, when we were talking about it before, I could never imagine anyone else from our team doing this. Because because you only have a podcast, but I feel like you're the type of person that can do it. You're so open and happy. And you have you're such an easy person to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your demeanor is always calm but fun. And you have a good balance. So how are you feeling? Are you excited? Wow. I don't know.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm really excited to be the MC for our lead conference. That's happening tomorrow, March 25th. This is going to come out after, but March 25th. I'm kind of nervous because I'm trying not to think about it too much because I just picture all these anxiety inducing scenarios. But in actuality, I think it's going to be pretty fun. I've always wanted to be a person. I don't know how it makes sense, but a part of a club. I want it to be running an event and a part of an event. So it's going to be so cool to be behind the scenes. And I don't know, are people going to try to network with us? You know what I mean? Is someone going to be what's your LinkedIn? Because I've always wanted to give up my LinkedIn. I'm take a QR code, man.
Imagine.
For the event, I'm super excited. I'm honored that you guys all picked me and agreed to choose me. I hope that I do a good job. And I'm very excited.
You're gonna do a perfect job. I'm very excited for tomorrow because I know that our team and especially the conference team has put so much work in everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling very excited.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my one question. And my second question for you is would you say that The Real Ones is the best podcast? No, I'm kidding. That's not the question.
Yes.
But would you say it?
Yes.
Yes, period. No. But how do you balance right now the real ones, personal life, work, friends?
Uh-huh. So I honestly fell into a bit of a loop the last couple of weeks where my work and friends were taking too much of a priority and it was taking my energy and attention away from other relationships and other aspects of my life. And so I've had to dial it back a little bit. But it's like you said, how do I balance everything or how does the real ones fit in? I don't know. It's kind of hard sometimes. It's definitely a commitment I have to make. I like that I bring people on and I have the accountability of having to having to meet with someone, even if I'm tired. I work around it to make sure I have enough energy to be able to talk to you here for an hour today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I was by myself or if it was anything else, I would just kind of procrastinate it and postpone it. But it's nice that I have there's a calendar invite that says, oh, Kat accepted, I accepted, I got to do this. So I make sure I have the energy and I work around it.
Yeah, but you enjoy it too because when I listen to your episodes, you're always intrigued to actually learn about the person. And I feel the title The Real One suits this podcast very well.
Thank you.
Because you let people tell their own stories about things that they feel passionate about. And it's not something that's very closed. You can talk about 100 things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not limited to only one. So I feel
thank you.
I love this podcast because it's so real. God.
That's right. Thank you so much, Kat. Oh my God. I appreciate that.
So that were my questions for you, David.
Amazing questions. To everyone listening at home, thank you so, so much for tuning in this week. I hope you have an amazing morning, afternoon, evening, or night, whenever you're listening. Kat, do you want to say anything to the folks at home?
Of course. Guys, make sure when you get an invite from David to accept it. Now, tell your story. Why not? What do you have to lose? It's a fun time. It's a fun time. You tell your story. You listen to David's experiences, if he has similar experiences. And mm-hmm. you get to just have fun. So join. There you go. Do it. Don't think about it. Do it.
Just say yes.
Yeah, say yes.
That's right.
That's the last thing I wanted to say.
I love it. And to everybody, a goodbye.
Bye.